The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, page 6 or Roman numeral 7 of your notes, features of the earth. All right, let's take the usual time to remember that we are vulnerable to being under the control of our sin nature, our minds going this way and that way, and we're not focused in. This is your opportunity to get in fellowship, focus in, and go away with a better appreciation of this very important topic. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the way is of death. We have chose the way of life and truth, and we thank you that we have made this hurdle so that we are no longer under the spell of the evildoers who have pushed this narrative, but we know that you are going to bring to light everything done in secret and break all of this down and confound the wisdom of the corrupt wise. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we made the big point last time that would make no sense on the solar system cosmology, that we were all fed from children, and that is that vegetation preceded the existence of the luminaries by one 24-hour day. Now float that out there and see what people think. That we got the world, the plant kingdom, first, one day first, but still it's first. This is brought out right here in this particular reading of these, the natural reading of these verses. The nations of the world had their cosmologies, and they had various things. Of course, they're mixing it all together with this deity did this and this one did that, and the world came from a big egg that hatched or something. I mean, whatever crazy stuff they had with regard to the origin of things, they all tended to embrace a flat earth. So, here we have, in these verses, after the establishment of the plant kingdom, and by the way, that would be the first living things placed on the earth being restored. And you had to have dry land because most of them, or a lot of them, thrive on dry land. So that was the first living things placed on the earth. And then, following that, on the fourth day, we get sun, moon, and stars in the verses specified here in this chapter 1, the creation chapter. All right, some features of the earth that we find from Scripture. First, it's stationary. It isn't moving. Indeed, the world is firmly established. Psalm 93, 1d. It will not, cannot be moved. It's in a fixed location. Also, Psalm 96. So you have to do some gymnastics to overturn that. Let me see what else I got here. Just a second. Sorry about that. Got the wrong chapter altogether. Also, Psalm 96:10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not, or it cannot, be moved. And so forth. It has a dome over it, Roman numeral 5 above. It has foundations. Foundations. A term we would never in a million years refer to a sphere. It's nonsensical. It just would be wokeism to say that the earth has foundations and it's a ball. You make the Bible look stupid. Again, do not come up with any, well, these people couldn't have understood this back then. What? These people weren't a bunch of dummies. These people knew how to build civilizations. They lived in comfort when they got it all together. They developed a lot of things, some of which we still haven't figured out. The ancients. On down. Certain technologies, certain things have been lost. Yes, we've come up with a lot of phenomenal stuff. But these were people who, like us, supposed to have rational minds, are observant, see things, and know when something isn't right. So, the earth has foundations so that it will not be moved forever. Psalm 104:5. Look that up here. He established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. Now again, well, I'll get to that. And also Isaiah 40:21 and 51:13. It cannot be measured. What? Jeremiah 31:7. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, this is by humans. And the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all they've done. I'll reject Israel once and for all forever. If you can measure this. This is it. This is in human history. Well, we have all these statements about the diameter, the circumference of the earth, don't we? We have all these dogmatic statements about the distance around this globe and the distance through the diameter. And he doesn't just mean a people of that time. So below the earth are foundations. These are not visible to human endeavor and exploration. They are beneath us. And of course, we're all trapped in this dome, which we can't get out of, and go out there and look around. In fact, if you look at a geology book, they will tell you all the layers going all the way to the core. And yet, search it out. What is the deepest well that has ever been drilled? It isn't that far down compared to what they say. And they couldn't go any further because the heat got too great. And they could not punch this down much further. And we're talking miles. You know, 7 comes into my mind, but that's about the deepest, deep well punched in the earth by man. And then they tell us this all. How do they know that's what's down there? That's the question. You can guess all you want to. That's what they do, and they sell it, in, of course, in geology. So it cannot be measured. It has pillars to boot. We know what pillars are. 1 Samuel 2:8, he raised the poor. He raises the poor from the dust. This is God's sovereignty over humanity and the things he does. He can take the poorest of people, and has, and raise them up from the lowest level and set them on high. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles. And inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. In the midst of this, we have this. And he set the world on them. So if you could get outside and look at this whole thing from the outside, you would see the third heaven, the earth as the footstool beneath it, suspended in space. What's holding it there? The power of God. This little pinpoint in endless space is heaven and earth. As you know, space outward goes on forever and ever and ever. It is infinite. So if the creation is finite and it is hanging out there on nothing, verse coming up, the earth hangs on nothing. God holds it up and keeps it in place. Now, were the pillars of the earth of the Lord, and he set the world on them. Job 9:6. Now, this would be for an exceptional situation. And I think we will find that during the tribulation, with the traumatic geological upheavals that will occur, unprecedented, for instance, earthquakes, the megaquake of all time will level all the cities of the earth and bring the mountains down. These monster earthquakes that have occurred in human history pale in comparison to this superquake in the trib. You read about it in Revelation. Who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. Psalm 75:3. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars. Pillars generally are related to buildings, structures, various ones that man has built, some of these pillars, and construction projects continue to stand to this day, going clear back to ancient times. It is suspended on nothing, just beneath the throne room of heaven. Job 26:7. He stretches out the north over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. Hangs it on nothing. It just sits right out there. Normally you would expect it to be in some kind of motion, of falling, or whatever you want to call it. Its surface is circular. And the way I envisage this. Now when you're dealing with this topic, you're dealing with details. Some of which we can maybe figure out. Others still, there's a question. The earth, as per the maps of antiquity and more modern that show the flat earth, they show an ice wall all around it. And the face of the deep is kept in that like a water in a dam. And it's kept in that. Now, what's beyond that ice wall? There's all kinds of people talking about what might be beyond it. And one, the distance from this 300-foot or whatever it is ice wall all the way, but we can't explore it. No one will let us explore it. So there is speculation about how much distance is involved, and what exactly is out there. And of course, I don't get into any of that, because I don't have any verses or anything to help out in this regard. But we should be able to explore and see how much more distance there is between that which is encompassed in the ice wall, in the circle, and what's beyond it all the way to the wall or the dome. Job 22:14. There's a lot about creation in the book of Job, both the physical creation, the inanimate creation, and animals and so forth. Clouds are a hiding place for him so that he cannot see. And he walks on the vault of heaven, 26:10. He has inscribed a circle. C-H-U-G, circle. On the face of the waters, at the boundary of light and darkness. Now part of that is mysterious to me. But that's because we've been messing with this other stuff and not exploring the true thing. And if they know, they're not telling us. So you have a strange verse. He has inscribed a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. Proverbs 20. And I'm sure there's a real good explanation for the boundary of light and darkness, which I'm not able to provide you with at this time. But some people have said that sailing clear what we would call the southern from the north and then out like that, and sailing far down towards the southern area. They have been told, sailors, when night hits, it hits fast. You're not going to have a graduation like you normally are experiencing. And certain sailors have testified and wrote down that, bam, it just got dark like that. So I don't know if that is what this is all about, but anyway. Proverbs 8:27, when he established the heavens, I was there. He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. There's a repeat. A repeat of the same thing. A circle on the face of the deep. And that is definitely not the equator. There's no inscription. You've got to have something that you can see that's visible. Isaiah 40:22. He who sits above, and the Hebrew word is above, the circle of the earth, sits. Now God is omnipresent everywhere. We already know that. Can't go anywhere and God isn't there in spirit. That's just basic theology. He who sits above the circle of the earth, that's the throne. And all its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That's your dome. That's your covering. We have no idea how thick this is. It's massive, and it is thick. The earth is never described in the Bible as a ball spinning, which have been easy enough to do. We have plenty of vocabulary to do this. We have the word spin. We have the word ball. But it's never referred to as of the earth. Much less that this spinning ball is moving. In addition to spinning. Nothing. In fact, the only place the word ball is found in the Bible is in Isaiah 28:18 in a figurative fashion. Referring to, whoever he's referring to is somebody that he is displeased with and he is going to cast them out. And I will roll you tightly like a ball. The noun is D-U-R and is not to be confused with D-O-R, the word generation. I will roll you tightly like a ball. So there's your word ball. One time, has nothing to do with creation at all. Could have been easily said, the earth is a ball, sphere. Doesn't say it. Moving on, the earth has four corners. Now here's how I picture it. Imagine you have a square table that has four corners, and you draw a circle hitting each of the four edges. And out here are the corners. And instead is this circle. Now again, the distance between the wall and the outer is not revealed, and so forth. And I will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now some will just say, well, that's just figurative language from the four directions. I understand. But then we have Revelation 7:1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That's they taking up a position there. Holding back the four winds of heaven. How do angels do that? This is in the tribulation when there's a moment of calm before all hell breaks loose. 28, and will come out to deceive the nations. That Satan is the subject here of being released from his imprisonment in Sheol, Hades, for the 1,000 years. And he will come out to deceive the nations. He's incorrigible. He goes right back to what he's been doing. Faking people out, deceiving the nations. And he's done a very good job of it on a religious level and on a science level. Deceive the nations. And there's willing people who do not like God, don't want truly God in their thinking, and they go along with this propaganda and this lie that built up, and it all didn't fall in place at once. It fell in place incrementally. The origin of the species, the geological timeline, the different men associated with that, the Copernican model, the theory of, whenever you hear theory of, know that they haven't proven it. It's a theory. Theoretical science means that it isn't factually based because it hasn't been proven. Somebody says, well, I have an idea about this. I have a theory about this. That it has to be proven. Okay? So it's still called the theory of gravitation. Supposedly holds all this together. It keeps everything going. But when you think it through, it becomes stupid. Larger objects attract smaller objects. Everywhere, they can't explain it because they can't measure it. And they do not know its exact source. They can only say something. You know, the simplest answer fits. Things fall because they're heavier than air. Or in water, buoyancy. Or a rock sinks. It isn't sinking because gravity is pulling it down. It is heavier than the water it's thrown in, and the buoyancy principle. Whereas if a piece of wood was thrown out there, it'd float. He will come out to see the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Spheres do not have corners. Gog and Magog. Four corners of the earth, and other verses have that four corners of the earth thing. Which again, I would find to be a very terrible way to describe a ball. Now, if I had a circle, I could draw, like I said, in it, I could draw a square in it, and there would be my corners. Revelation 29. Now, again, you know from the book of Revelation that the whole, God has done this a few times. We saw the one in the judgment that fell on the earth, whatever it was like, whatever its disposition was like, during the time before God judged the earth with tohu wabohu and all of that, and what that environment was like. And there are people that, and I got books, they speculated on what was down here at that time. I don't go there because I don't have verses that I can hang anything on. So however, how long it was like pristine, like from original creation, how long it was like that, what activities the angels engaged in on the earth, I'm sure they occupied it. They got lots of power. I don't know what they did. But there wasn't a pre-Adamic race. Adam's the first man, period, in order. So there wasn't a pre-Adamic race running around on the earth. There was angels and God. And if there was any other living things, like plants, I don't know what it was like before he judged the earth and made it this tohu wabohu, without form and void. Very unattractive. Then he and then he brought up Pangaea. That's one thing geology guessed right or said right. They said that there was one continent. Of course, they have all this when it happened way back when and all the rest of it. But there was one continent. It came up and the waters receded from it. And he called that the dry land, Earth. On that day, on that second day of restoration process. Now, another big event occurred with regard to that Pangaea. Noah's flood. Verses on that would deal with at the flood. Okay, 40 days and 40 nights of killer rain would hurt a lot of people. But they could get through that. That was all they had to put up with. I know it. Lots of things would be flooded. A lot of people would be dead. But people could figure out a way. But it was, and that was the water from above. A certain amount of it was released and brought down to the surface of the earth. Then he began to change the topography so that there was massive, massive, heavy tidal waves, trapping animals and people in it. There's places where it's like helter-skelter. There's all the bones of these different animals, like a graveyard. They didn't all go there to die. And they find these anomalies. And again, I said, fossilization of animals, plants. And in the psalm, it says, the mountains rose up and the valleys sunk down. He pulled up mountain ranges. Just pulled them up. Because probably before the flood, there certainly wasn't these gigantic mountain ranges that we are familiar with today. And so everything reestablished itself during the time Noah was on the ark. That doesn't mean things didn't go on after that, because things are in flux. And the continent, the Pangaea, breaks up. And between it, we have oceans. Between Africa and South America, we have the Atlantic Ocean, and so forth and so on. And this whole earth looks like a little puzzle that you could put it all back together again and make it one continent, with exceptions. And then you have islands come into existence, small ones and large ones. All this was a result of the flood, the reorganization of the topography of the earth in terms of oceans, mountains, rivers, the rest of it. This reorganization is going to take place in the day of the Lord. Another one. Someone said, do you suppose we'll go back to one continent? I don't know, because it is mind-boggling, if you take the Bible literally, that every mountain falls into the sea. Every mountain. Now, hills are lower promontories. Mountains are, we know what mountains are. And so they all fall into the sea. All these big mountain ranges that we're familiar with, the Himalayan, the Alps, and so forth. Rockies, all these mountain ranges fall into the sea. There's a leveling, at least. At the very least, there is a leveling. I don't see any evidence, just by the way, I don't see any evidence on the new earth of any mountains or multiple rivers. There's certainly no oceans. So that's a completely different thing in one respect. People are not. One of the reasons God broke up the continent, put the mountains, is to keep people separate from each other. Make it harder on them to get together and do evil. They had to cross an ocean. They got a mountain range in front of them. It's isolation and separation of people that located in these places. And to this day, they still have to be traversed, whether through the air or over the sea or what have you. So in the time, it says here that, which in Revelation 20, in the Gog and Magog revolution, in which Satan has all these years, it's in Earth's history, it's a short time, but he has to convince these people that they can overthrow Jesus Christ and gain their world back. Why would anybody born in the millennium see all that? There you go again, volition. It's mind-boggling. You can't convert people that have a presupposition to be negative. With miracles, with any other kind of thing, you can't line people out. You can scare them. You're going to have them go, wow. But you can't get them to turn to the Lord. How many people with all the evidences that are going to come down in the tribulation will click and get their act together by being believers? Well, there's a big number according to Revelation 7. But what about all the rest of the masses that remain locked in unbelief? See, it's like the Pharisees and the high priest of Israel, the Sanhedrin. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the real deal, but they wouldn't believe in him. They knew they could not refute his messianic claims any more than the Jews today can, because they pick and choose what they like out of the Bible. I see them quoting scripture, but look at the ones they ignore. Especially the ones about a suffering Messiah that they rejected, that generation rejected. That is a real blow to them, the messianic chosen people, turning their back on the true Messiah when he came and gave all the proofs and all the evidence was there that he was completely in line with all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament about his first coming. They were all right there. They're still there. And they still resist this because it makes them look bad. Well, yeah, it makes you look bad. But as an individual, you can turn around and turn away from that. You bet it makes them look bad. And it isn't anti-Semitic to say they're all screwed up, with those exceptions. But these messianic Jews running around say that, you know, the Messiah is coming, but they don't know who he is or where he's coming from. You know they've been exposed to Christianity, fundamentalist, basic stuff. What do they do with the New Testament? Throw it out? Because the New Testament reinforces what the Old Testament said in fulfillment. The Old Testament said he would not be esteemed when he came and appeared on the scene. All the evidences and everything. If he was a fake Messiah, they'd have caught it in a minute. Oh, you were born in the wrong place. Oh, really? He was born right where the prophet Micah said he'd be born. Bethlehem. A little nondescript village, a little dot on the road, right outside Jerusalem. I think it's about 10 miles south of it. That's where he was born. Not in big, bad Jerusalem. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. He is born in humility, under humble circumstances. His parents, mother, natural, and his legal father, they were peasants. They were the peasant class. That doesn't mean they were abject poor. They weren't. They were hardworking. They had illustrious genealogy. They were royalty. But God set aside that royal system because of the stunt one of the kings pulled. It's called a curse. That's a whole other story. See, they know these things. It's in front of them. But they are it's like the prophet said, you are a stubborn generation. Do you ever get around stubborn people? You put facts in front of them, they just don't want to hear it. They argue over, try to distract the conversation, come up with something silly. When people hear this for the first time, and I understand, and I'm not being, but beyond a point, it becomes indefensible. Well, I know the earth is round. How do you know it? Because they built the Golden Gate Bridge in a curved way. They built it like that so big ships could get under it. Otherwise, they would have had to build all bridges with a curve in them. Go look up, longest bridge on earth. I think it's almost 100 miles. You better have your tank full of gas. It's in China. Otherwise, they'd have to take into consideration curvature. This is like, don't be such a dumbass. You know that if anything is built on curvature, it has to be compensated for. If you go over a round hill, everything has to be fixed to make it happen. If it's flat, it's flat. That's why I say, sea level, horizon. What's the other word in the horizon family? Horizontal. Somebody calls up, you might try to be funny, you're still in bed, you pick your phone up. What are you doing? I'm still in the horizontal position. You know they're laying flat on their back on their bed. And you see these pictures. Bam! Just like that, looking out at the sea. Stand on the beach. Here's a woman standing on the beach. She's emphasizing the fact. You look out and see the water. It's flat. It's flat just like this. All the way. How in the hell could water stay on a ball? When I was a kid, the earth is spinning, and the molten lava in the center of it is pushing out towards the sides, which I suppose if it was a ball and there was this thing with this kind of a viscosity, it might be pushing out to the sides. And that's why it has a bulge. Who's going to go? Then what would that do to the water on the surface, whose viscosity is easy to make it move? You don't have to do much, water moves. Nobody asks the hard questions. But see, in the cosmos, you're not supposed to question the model. You're supposed to go along with it. You can make changes in it. You can change this and, we used to think the moon and the sun was this far away, but now we got this and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you can play with it. So I think indicates the earth is flat. And that's the revolutionaries that Satan finally convinces that they can overthrow Jesus Christ. And you know what? They've got all the history before that. Oh, well, let's ignore that. And how about the book of Revelation? Everything so far has come true in it. 1,000-year reign, blah, blah, blah. The trib, blah, blah, blah. All this has come true. And then there's a verse that says you're going to try to do this and be wiped out. Oh, let's join that. So they come up on the broad plain of the earth. And that's where we get our word plateau. We all maybe have been to the top of a plateau. I have. I've been up there. I was up there elk hunting once. You can see a long way. It's flat. Yeah, there's trees and bumps in it and all that business. But it's flat. Also, type in, what is the longest plain on earth? Flat ground. One end to the other. Find out what the largest inland lake is. There's one up in Russia that the White Army walked across on ice when they were fleeing the Red Army back during the Revolution. It's flat. The thing is flat. You can measure one end of it and go measure the other, and there you are. You get the elevation. It's the same. I think the largest plane might be in South America. Straight on, all the way. The term Platos is used in connection with flat linear dimensions of the New Jerusalem. Flat linear dimensions. And, well, hopefully you're in agreement that the earth too is flat, with no mountains, no oceans, no obstacles for people. Unanswered questions, yes. You got to get there to get all the questions answered. Man does not know his dimensions. And chiding Job, God says, "Have you understood the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know, smart ass." Oh, I added that. I mean, we're not supposed to add to Scripture. Smarty. You're so smart. You're questioning me and my administration of things. It's easy to get into that. Why did God let this happen? What's he doing? Jeremiah 31:7, thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out, that I will cast off the offspring of Israel for all they've done. Repeat that one. I like that. Well, I guess Israel's toast. They figured out all the distances, know everything. I'm being facetious. In summation, the earth is flat, stationary, circular, over which the sun, moon, and stars along function. There's fixed stars, there's moving stars. There's stars and constellations. There's all this going on in this vast dome. And what they're made up of isn't what's in the science books. We'll have a verse in the Bible, all the stars fall to the earth. Now, I have questions about that. Does that mean they all disappear? We've all seen, you've seen things about this is a falling star and it goes through the sky and it's gone. When I was a little kid, I flew down to visit my grandmother from Denver. I was just a little kid, maybe 5, I don't know. I can't remember. But I was under 10. And the pilot and the co-pilot took me up at the front of the plane with them. I had to sit there at night. That was a hoot. Hey, look over there. And there's this thing goes scooting through the sky. I remember that like it was yesterday. Funny how certain things you remember. Anyway, under this dome, the sun, moon, and stars, more on that later, along with foundations and pillars hanging in space just beneath a water reservoir. And over it all is the throne room, the vast real estate with the throne room and all of it up there. Go online and see pictures of clouds behind the sun. You say, oh, those are all fake. Okay. Think so? I had one of my church members say, I was watching this. It was crazy. Am I hallucinating? Am I hallucinating? So I don't know what all is out there. I mean, you know, in the technical way. The sun is in constant motion over the earth, and everything in Scripture tells us that the sun is moving and the earth isn't. Do with the evidence what you will with it. We'll pick up here tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.